Mary Magdalene had lost everything, or so she thought. She had lost her teacher, her friend. She had lost the community of men and women who followed him, who had been together until he was arrested and then executed like a criminal. She and some of the other women stayed near. The men scattered and were in hiding. She had lost much more than that, though. She had lost a very dear and loving friend, one in whom she saw the love of God as she had seen it in no other, one who had come to her when she was in such deep struggle that it seemed as if she had seven demons roiling around inside of her. And he spoke her name, and he touched her, and they were gone. She had lost the one who had healed her, who had loved her. All she had left was the body. They had placed the body in a borrowed tomb. She and some other women had helped to prepare, to begin the preparations, but the Sabbath had come. Now, in the still dark, not quite light of morning on the first day of the week, she returns to finish her work on the one thing she has left, his body. When she arrives, she sees that the stone which was supposed to cover the tomb, the opening, was gone. And she jumps to the conclusion that now she truly had lost everything. Everything, even the body. Someone had come and taken the body. And they would blame her. Not necessarily her alone, but his followers. She didn't know what to do. She could not face this alone. She goes back to find others of his followers, and she finds two. Peter, another unnamed disciple, another disciple whom Jesus had loved, who had seen in Jesus God's love as in no other. They come back to the tomb, and they look inside, and sure enough, the body is gone. Linen cloths are there. If someone had taken the body, why wouldn't they take the linen cloths as well? He was wrapped in those. The two men return to where they were hiding. And Mary's left alone. When she looks into the tomb, she sees much more than the men had seen. She sees two messengers of God sitting on the stone shelf there in the tomb where Jesus' body was supposed to be. One where the feet would have been, one where the head would have been. And they ask her what seems to be a silly question. Woman, why are you weeping? She had lost everything, even the body. Who would not weep? She turns, and there's another stranger. Through her tears, she can't tell who it is, but she presumes that it's the caretaker, the gardener, the one who cares for the place where the tomb is. And he asks her the same silly question. Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? And through her tears, she chokes out, they've taken away the one person who showed me the love of God as no one else ever had. If you tell me where he's been taken, I will go and reclaim the body. And then the stranger speaks one word, her name, Mary. The same word he had spoken before he touched her and the seven demons were gone. The same word she had heard again and again and again as he had shown her God's love as no one else had ever done it. Mary, he says, and she recognizes the voice. This was too good to be true. Rabboni, she says, my rabbi, my dear, kind, sweet, loving rabbi. And she knows who it is. There are others like Frederick Buechner who will tell you it's too good not to be true. But for her at that moment, it was hard to imagine. Jesus tells her, now you go and you tell my brothers, those who are in hiding, you tell them that I am going to be with God. You go and you tell them what you've experienced here. And so Mary Magdalene, the woman who had had seven demons, the woman who had been a part of Jesus' closest group of followers, becomes the first to proclaim the gospel. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. We just finished saying that, didn't we? We say that every year this time, and yet I wasn't there. Were you there? Every time I hear that hymn, were you there when they crucified my Lord? I have to say, no, I wasn't there. I've heard the story. I've received the story. I've imagined it in my own mind hundreds and thousands of times. But all I can pass on to you is what I received. The story of how a woman came to Jesus and washed his feet with her tears and anointed his feet, and then he went and washed his disciples' feet. Where do you think he got that idea? He passed it on and told them to pass it on. And Mary, who goes to the disciples and brings them the good news before they've experienced it, and they pass it on. And then there's Paul as one untimely born. The least of the apostles, he says. Although he does add, he works harder than all the rest of them. He wasn't there either. Remember? He passed on what he received from others. This morning, I pass along a story of good news. It's a story that I've received, that I believe because of those who told it to me, as I tell it to you. And now it's your story to tell to others. The most important things in our lives are often those things we were not actually there to experience, but have been told to us. Have been given to us as gifts. I'm wearing a gift today. Some of you know for whom this particular vestment was named and made. It was for R. Harold Hips. R. was a longtime member of this congregation, died about a year and a half ago. R. headed the Christian Educators Fellowship for many years, founded our jazz mass here. And as R. and I talked about his memorial service, he was giving directives as to how it should go. The jazz band would play, of course. We would dance in, of course. And then he turned to me after Dan, his son, had found this and brought it in and said, and you're going to wear that. He said, no one else has ever worn it. It was made for me. Those of you who know R. or knew him, know that he was about that tall. He was a leprechaun in more ways than being short. And I said to him, R, if that fit you, it will never fit me. It's an Easter miracle. It must have dragged the ground for him, believe me. As I was walking in, Kirby Davis said, "Wow, that makes a statement." I said, "Kirby, I hope the statement it makes is Christ is risen." He said, "It does indeed. This is not my vestment. I wasn't there when it was made, and it wasn't made for me. It is something I received as a gift, and one day I will no longer wear it, but someone else will wear it." Like the stories that we received this morning, I pass along to you what I received. That when you believe that the harshness and the hurt of the world is more powerful than God's love, it is not. God's love has triumphed over the worst that the greatest empire in the world could do. When you believe that even death is more powerful than God's love, it is not. Not even death can triumph over the greatest power in the universe, God's love. And when you, like Mary, believe that all is lost, that everything that you have loved is going away, perhaps for some of you it's a child growing up and leaving to make a life, for some of you it's a parent or a friend who is passing from this life to the next. When you think that all is lost, it is not lost. Because you see, today I give to you what I have received. The good news that in God's economy nothing is lost. Not even death can take away the most precious things that God has given us. A reminder of God's love that walks with us, God calling your name, God calling my name, and allowing us to respond, Rabboni. Christ is risen. Christ is risen in us. Thanks be to God.